Okay. It is a terrible thing to say, but I often seem to end up speaking in weeks where I feel like my feet haven't really touched the ground. And actually, the absolute last thing I want to do is be trying to prepare a talk to give at church. Poor Steve and the rest of my family have to put up with me telling them how very, very busy I am and how I can't possibly see them over the weekend because I've got a talk to write. And this week, I'm afraid, was no exception. It followed the usual pattern, although I did actually manage to sit down on Tuesday night, which is unheard of, to start thinking about what I might say. But then all of a sudden, it was Saturday, and I hadn't had any thoughts. Mum often suffers the brunt of it. She very kindly took my welcome team duty this morning so that I could continue preparing for tonight, but she also invited me and Steve for lunch, to which I replied, yes, please, that'd be great, but I will have to eat and run. I've got a talk to prepare, you know. So I'm pretty sure that actually God is telling me something through this recurring pattern, but me being me, it's taken a little while for me to cotton on. Despite my panic that I haven't got enough time and incessant need to tell everyone about my panic, which today clearly includes all of you and anybody that would be listening online, I think I've finally realised what it is that God is telling me. I think I've realised that not only will he find me the time to prepare, but also in not having a long time to prepare a talk, I need to completely rely on him to reveal to me what I should be sharing from the passages. So instead of panicking about the list of jobs I seem to have, I think I need to remind myself that God is my Father and he is offering me rest. That is the title for this evening, Rest for Your Souls. He is offering me strength. He is someone to lean on at all times, not just when I feel overwhelmed. So when I read the passage for tonight, I had to chuckle a little bit because in some ways it was perfectly timed. Let me just read for you then. Matthew chapter 11, I'm just going to read from verse 25. It's entitled, which I know we've talked about, the titles are put in later, but it's entitled Rest for the Weary. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We had a supply teacher in school on Friday for one of the Year 5 classes, and since that's my year group, it fell to me to have a chat with her about what the plans were for the day. I was feeling quite pleased about it because all the plans had been printed off the day before. They're all ready to go, so I was thinking, that's fine, I'll just guide her to the room and then be like, there are your plans, away you go. Everything that was needed for the children was photocopied as well. Literally, it was just ready. Except that she'd never been to our school before. And actually, when I spoke to her, she'd only been a supply teacher once before. Being a large school, we have quite a reasonable number of supply teachers that we call on a regular basis, so they know how the school works. They're aware of the running of the day. They're aware of where they should pick the children up after lunch. They're able to come in, take the plans, and off they go. And having not had a new supply teacher for a while, I'd slightly forgotten just how much information I needed to pass on to her before we could even think about the teaching. I had to share with her In fact, we had to chase around the school to try and find a login for her. I had to show her how to log in onto the computer. I had to show her how to log into the register, how to do the dinner register. I had to talk through the behaviour code. I had to tell her about the timings of the day. I had to show her where the hall was because she was needing to go to assembly at some point, the staff room, the toilets, when she had to collect the children from the playground, when she didn't have to collect the children from the playground, where the children would be, which door she was meant to use to get them to and from playgrounds, how to mark the books, and how and when to give out the homework. By the time I'd run through all of those things, I felt exhausted, and I could only imagine how she felt. And then I'm using a story which I think I may have used at seven before, but just go with it because there's a fresh wave of it. It's that time of the year when my class are going swimming. Twice a week, we go swimming on a Monday afternoon and on a Friday afternoon. It takes a large part of the afternoon, which you might think would be brilliant. No planning. I don't have to teach the swimming. I just sit on the side of the pool, which is a chore in itself, let me tell you. And there's no marking, obviously, for that, so you'd think it would be a dream. However, the preparation that comes before going swimming, and this happens every time we go swimming, needs a whole list on its own. In fact, I've written myself a note that is an A4 page long to remind myself of the things I need to do. Don't worry, I'm going to share it with you. I have to fill in the swimming information sheet. When I went swimming for the first time from St. John's last year, I got it wrong about three swimming sessions on the trot, and every time I was told off by somebody, whether it was one of the swimming teachers or somebody in the office. I've just about got it down now, but every time we go swimming, I have to ask the children, have you got your kit? Because if they haven't got their kit, obviously they cannot come. I have to check with them who is being collected from the pool at the end of the session, who is coming back to school with me. I have to record all of this onto a sheet next to every child's name, who it is that's collecting them if they're being collected from the pool, and or whether they're coming back to school. I have to highlight the ones that are being collected from the pool so it's very clear to anybody that needs to look at the list what is happening. I have to record the numbers in each swimming group and whether if anybody is absent in that group and whether they might be staying at school because they forgot their kit. I have to check that we've got parent helpers available to walk with us. And as Kate knows, that doesn't necessarily mean you'd have the same parent every Monday or every Friday. It could be anybody. I have to print then multiple copies of that sheet. I keep like 500 of them. I have to give one to the office so that they know where everybody is. I have to sign out and collect the key for the gate so that we can actually get out of school. I'm feeling quite pleased that I've never made it to the top of those dreadful steps in St. John's to find I haven't got the key. I've remembered the key every time. I haven't lost it yet either, which is also good. I have to put on my delightful high-vis jacket and give high-vis jackets to the parents also. I have to collect the first aid kit, the medicine bag that's got the inhalers, etc. with it. I have to make sure I have my phone with me for emergencies. And a very helpful piece of advice that somebody that was like in year five last year said to me was make sure you take a pen. She also said make sure you pick up some of those blue plastic elastic things that go over your shoes because sometimes they're not there. She is right. On Monday, there were none there, so I had to go barefoot into the swimming pool, which I did not enjoy. So just, I mean, that's just a small rant of my, I love working at the school that I work at, but there's a lot of admin. It seems to me that in our lives these days, not just mine, but in our lives, there are so many boxes we have to tick in so many aspects of our lives. Not many things seem to be just simple and straightforward anymore. At this point, I was hoping that I could show you a little clip from Friends. I'm re-watching the box set. In fact, I've just finished in a probably shamefully short period of time. And I was desperately trying to look. I was like, surely YouTube has got a clip of like people being really busy. I was imagining somebody like spinning loads of plates and it going really well and then it all come crashing down. I didn't have any luck. I just saw lots of people spinning plates. And then it came to me that I'd seen that episode of Friends where Phoebe is getting married and for some unknown reason Monica is her wedding organizer, wedding planner. If you don't know Friends, I apologize, I'm not going to talk for this very long, but it was that moment where Phoebe's phone rings. She's in the coffee house with Joey. She picks up the phone and she goes, "Oh, this is my wedding planner, and she's driving me crazy." And at that point, we don't know that it's Monica. Monica comes in wearing a headset. That's how serious she is about her job. And she's talking to Phoebe. She's saying, "The food is going to be changed. You've got to decide what you want for the food." And Phoebe's like, "I just don't care. You choose. That's why you're in charge of those things. I just want to get married." And then Monica gets, I think, a little bit too big for her boots in her role. And Phoebe's like, "That's it. You're fired. I don't want you doing this job anymore." And Monica says, "Well, then you better take care of this list." And that passes her like a little pile of notes, I think, of people that she needs to call back. And Phoebe gets more and more stressed, and then opens the door of the apartment to find that the ice sculpture has arrived at the apartment rather than the place for the wedding. And she's like, "Oh, please have your job back." Those were the clips I was showing you. Partly topical because the Johnsons have got a wedding going on Saturday. I did write here, not mine, Sarah's, just to be clear. But it was a very silly example, but it just again underlined to me how complicated and busy our lives can get. I know a wedding is an exceptional situation, but I feel like my life is endless lists of things to do. And Monica also says that she has won awards for her organisation, which made me chuckle because I was thinking, I don't think I would win any awards for all my organisational skills. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He mentions rest again a little bit later on in verse 29. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Whilst doing some reading for this talk, I came across an American pastor, who was describing how these two types of rest are different. The first one in verse 28 that says, "I will give you rest, all you who are weary and burdened," is the kind of rest where we take a break from something. So it's not that it's finished, but you're just having a bit of time away from it, a kind of a stop-off, if you like, on the way to your final destination. Whereas the second rest in verse 29, "you will find rest for your souls," is referring to a final place of rest, the place that's at the end of your journey. For us, it's talking about heaven. I like the idea that Jesus would be saying, when you're feeling tired, when you're overworked, or you're just a bit fraught with the busyness of life, come to me and I will provide a place for you to rest. But when I read this passage in the Message version of the Bible, verse 28 says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." So that puts a bit of a different spin on it. In this passage, it sounds like, or it was, Jesus was referencing all the religious motions that the Pharisees had imposed on people that just wanted to know God. The Message goes on to say, "I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The rest of our lives are so busy. That's the culture we live in. But Jesus is not a burden for us. Jesus is offering everything for nothing. He's offering his love, his grace, his goodness, and eternal life to us. And all we have to do is say yes and then let him. We just have to open our hearts to Jesus and let him do the rest. I know for me, this means that I have to remember to stop trying to do everything in my own strength. I have to let go and let God. Karen said to us last week, we need to fully rely on God. She had a great picture of a frog. I don't have one. That can feel like a challenge. But today, I just want it to be a relief. Today, I want us to remember that for Jesus, we don't have a lot of boxes to tick. For Jesus, we don't have hoops to jump through or a series of things that we have to achieve in our lives before we can be with him in eternity. For Jesus, we just have to say yes and then let him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everything you are to us, for everything you have given us, for everything you bring for us every day. And I pray, Father, that that ability to fully rely on you is something that we would cheerfully grab hold of. That it wouldn't feel like a burden to do that, Father, but that we would give our burdens to you so that you can provide us with that rest. I thank you for your promises that we can be open to you loving us and we can also love you, and that you are going to offer us, or you do offer us, life eternally with you in heaven. Amen.